Giant Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 16th, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me and pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And do not forget to leave a message. A lot of people just call, and they do it on my cell phone, too. And it's just blank. Okay, I'm at the message stone, but you have to speak up. You know, I don't know who you are or what you want if you just have dead air there. Kind of like if I did on here a couple times. Y'all don't like to hear dead air, neither do I. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube and some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. And let's thank our listener base, places like Mersin Province, Turkey, Chiba City, Japan, Sofia, Bulgaria, Kaduna, Nigeria, and of course cities in the United States such as Honolulu, Hawaii. By the way, if any of you email me about if you're a listener, which I know you're a listener, send me an email about the conditions over there, about the volcano, any thoughts that you have about Hawaii. You got any prophecy teachers over there in Hawaii, give me a buzz. Anyway, Seattle, Washington, Oakland, California, Mesa, Arizona. Hey, these are just to name a few. You should see the map. Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, still remains the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcast later tonight. But Washington, D.C. is usually a second in line, sometimes overtakes them. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray, Father, I just ask that radio goes according to your will tonight, not our wills, not our guest's will, but Father, but your will. Give the guest the words in which you want him to hear. Lift the veil from the eyes and eyes and ears from those who are listening, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which Yahweh has created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. As now we really are in the latter days, that is the time of the end. Paul was speaking about now. I believe that he is. So today we bring on with us one minister that you all know pretty well. We hadn't been on for over a month, I think. And that is, he just made a new video about these very subjects. And for the record, Steve, I really liked the video. He is on. Yeah, you guessed it. It's Steve Henderson. He has served in the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in a ministry. In the last several years, Steve has been called in the arena to teach in prophecy. And you can check that out by going to Sure Word Prophecy. His ministry is called that, the Sure Word of Prophecy. He has a mission to help believers understand Bible prophecy and prepare them for the return of Yeshua. Anyway, in his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, atheists, providing them with evidence they need to turn them into a saving faith in Yeshua, the Messiah. And this is getting harder and harder every day. You can check out his website again at surewordprophecy.org. Welcome, Steve, and how are you?
Pastor Dan, what a blessing it is to talk with you again. We have something in common. It's called Bible prophecy. It's good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah, amen. Actually, we probably have a lot more in common than that, but,
Yeah, true. Yeah. We're both 63 years old and born about 9 days apart, I think, too.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, I'm just gearing up for the next 200 years, you know. But I believe...
I'm not even looking at 200. I'm looking at trillions of years with no end, brother. That's what we're promised in the Messiah. So, you know, we have that ahead of us, and that's a great, great thing. And everything we talk about leads to that very end result. Amen?
Yeah, amen. And this very subject that you're bringing up tonight is one that is really, to me, is a stronger sign of the end. Now, people want to talk about nations and wars and all of that, you know, and trying to figure out which one does this and which one does that. I actually find this an easier pointed out subject, if you will, to being in that time of the end because it's more identifiable. Back to you.
Yes, brother, you led in very well with that. Scripture talks about at the end, many would be deceived and fall away by the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And, you know, I'd like to bring a little bit about that subject in a different form, which doesn't really get a whole bunch of attention, but I think it's becoming a very big item on our world scene as we speak. What do you think?
Okay. I think that's a great idea, but I have something to ask of you. I have somebody that's fairly close to me. I'm having a problem, and maybe it's just because I'm close to them that they can't understand, but they are claiming that they can be a star sign. We'll just use, and this isn't their sign, we'll just use this as a for instance. They would, it'd be, it's somebody claiming to be, well, I'm Cancer. Well, but they say they don't go along with horoscopes or any of the rest of the stuff. But, you know, God made sure they were born to be a sign of a Cancer. And so that's what they identify. And there's just no way I have been able to explain to them that that would happen. Now, I don't necessarily want you to do this on radio. You think about it and come up with a solution, or maybe we'll do a program about horoscopes specifically and all that stuff. But this is something I wanted to personally ask you because you're so well-versed that you helped me out with this problem. Anyway, I'll let you get on with the program.
Well, this is part of it, brother. It's an insight into the supernatural and into the things that God forbids. In Isaiah chapter 47, if this person you're talking to is a Bible believing Christian, then you can point him to Isaiah 47, where the prophet speaks out against the Lady of Kingdoms, who says, "Let these astrologers and magicians and all of these things save you from what is to come." They're trusting in astrology and soothsaying and this type of stuff, and it's forbidden in Scripture. In fact, one of the scriptures that we could take a look at would be in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where it says, when you come in the land that Jehovah has given you, don't learn or follow the abominations of those nations that are before you. There will not be found any of you who make a son or daughter pass through fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, for one who calls up from the dead. All these are an abomination to Jehovah, and because of these abominations, the Lord drives them out from among you. There are a whole group of paranormal and supernatural and reading stars and magicians and this type of stuff that is forbidden in Scripture. And if you can communicate that to your friend,
well,
then
that's what's so shocking is because they are well versed, and I have pointed these things out to them, but they're just not. They're just. We'll talk about it later, but they're just sunk into that just by using the name Cancer or Virgo or Sagittarius or whatever, you know, is
yeah,
okay.
You know, along with that comes horoscopes and this type of stuff, and it. Yeah, we could do something on that here later on, for sure.
Yeah,
I think
that's what I said. Let's just do
a
program with that.
We have big list of this ever-growing interest of many millions wrapped up in these fascinations with this type of stuff, the paranormal, chasing after ghosts, seeking out those who claim to have ability to communicate with dead folks. And there's a big list. There, you know, the mediums and necromancers and New Age channelers, psychics, occultists, crystal ball readers, tarot card readers, Ouija board fanatics, and like other dark personalities, they claim to be able to tap into the spirit world for the purpose of interfacing and communing with those who have died, and then have extraordinary insight outside of the one who gives you all wisdom and knowledge, which is the one the one and only Jehovah through his spirit. And it's not man's wisdom, but it's God's wisdom that needs to lead your path. And Satan has created 1 million pathways, but there's only one pathway to truth. And his name is Yeshua.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, for the record, I do a lot of casting. Let me say this, folks, real quick, and then we'll let you get on with it. Folks, if you're chasing after ghosts and spirits, as Steve will explain to you in a little while, number one, they're not ghosts. They're not your dead relatives. You're barking up a bad tree because you're going to open a closet or something, and it's demons. It is exactly what it is. And, Steve, we do this. You know, in fact, recently some old friends of mine moved into a new house, and it was a duplex, and the people next door, you know, had all kinds of weird things going on. And, you know, it was definitely possessed. And so we went over there and, you know, or inhabited. And so we went over there, anointed all the doorways with oil and put a bloodline around the house and used the shofar and got rid of those out of there. But we identified them for what they were. But we do things like that, a lot, not as much as I used to, because every time that we do that, there comes back a big spiritual battle backwards, you know, on us for doing it. But, amen. I totally agree. So let's explain this stuff to the people. Act like they have never heard it before.
Okay, well, you know, I think it starts with an awareness, Pastor Dan. There is a resurgence on the face of this earth, spiritualism. It's being promoted and gaining momentum in every society across our globe here. It's a new religious movement, if you will, based on the belief that the spirits of the dead exist and have the ability and inclination to communicate with the living. And I'm absolutely convinced, Pastor Dan, that just before Yeshua returns to reward his followers with eternal life, the originator of lies will use this great deception to draw many away from the truth, and I really believe we're being set up for it. And it's not something that just popped up in the last couple hundred years, as I talked about that passage out of Deuteronomy. Jehovah warned Israel about this very subject. And told them, you know, that you don't mess with this stuff because it's an abomination. It's detestable. It's a horrendous, sickening state that a person becomes when he goes to search out this stuff. And in our society, we've kind of learned to lose sight of these significant warnings out of Scripture and have let our guard down. I don't believe we need to be letting our guard down, especially today. Just today, brother, I was traveling down the interstate. And I looked over and saw a colorful message with only one word, and it said shaman. And then it had a phone number. And shamanism, if you've done any study on that, is a practice that involves a practitioner who works herself up into an altered state of consciousness in order to perceive and interact with the spirit world and then channel transcendental energies into the world. And they typically enter into a trance state during the ritual, and they practice divination and healing. And right on the outskirts of Tulsa was this big billboard saying Shaman and a big phone number. And I'm wondering what this ad on this billboard was trying to display. But on the same interstate, as I was traveling by the Tulsa Hard Rock Casino a couple of months ago, I saw a billboard promoting the appearance at the facility with the words Hollywood Medium and a date set for the curious to go and hear what this channeler of dead folks had to offer from the deceased from the other side, if you will. And everywhere we look, and every crack and crevice now, if you have this awareness, you see this stuff coming out in the very open. On the television, you can turn on the Learning Channel and find the Long Island Medium program going on its sixth year. And on her program, she speaks through spirits, a guide of sorts, that brings forth the deceased to let the living one know that the dead one is okay, they're in heaven, and all is right with their world. And those who view these programs are convinced that a medium can actually contact the dead in the spirit world and conclude that death is not what it means, death really isn't death, and that the dead will survive dying. And those who enter into a comforting and familiar afterlife when their body is laid to rest and their soul is alive and ever-present. And I might add that this view doesn't differ with what the majority of Christians believe, but we'll get into that in a little while, brother. Have you noticed some of this stuff going on?
I notice it. Like I said, the biggest sign to me, distinguishable of the end times, is that just like that, what we're living in. Whether it's all the TV programs, it's on billboards, it's the usage and everything. It's all around us. Even where we live,
brother. We're being set up for the big fall, and the master of deception has got his bag of tricks that he hasn't even pulled out of this bag yet that I think he's going to lay out in front of us. And we'll look at that in some of the scriptures that we'll hopefully get into before the end of the program. And how about the TV series that's going on its ninth year called The Walking Dead? Have you heard of that one?
Well, yeah, sure I have.
Yeah, the folks are actually dead, but they actually live, they walk, they grunt, they groan and moan. And, you know, Pastor Dan, it takes a big audience like that to keep a program on the air to the sort. And so, you know, there's a big following and fascination with even the things of the dead and living dead. And this just goes to illustrate the obsession that man has with it. And I'm not even touching the hundreds of books and popular movies related around the living dead genres like zombie apocalypses and mummies and vampire novels and spirits hanging around haunted mansions and lights. But just go down to Barnes & Noble bookstore, and you can find thousands of books on these particular subjects, probably more than what you find in the Christian section is at Barnes & Noble. Remember the movie series Night of the Living Dead, brother?
Sure. How could I forget? Drive-in movie.
Yeah. Well, today, you know, there are many books and movies that have centered on these themes of entering heaven or hell at death. And plainly stated, death is not really death. And I think we have a very big confusion of what death really is. And if we don't understand that when you die, you are really dead, then and you think that it's just an immediate transition into another location. In other words, the split second you die, you're living again. You know, that doesn't fit the mold with what God said in the very beginning. He said, you know, I'm giving you everything, but you eat the fruit of the tree of that tree over there, you're going to die. And then the devil comes around, and his first lie that he introduced, he says, you won't die. So God says, you're going to die, and Satan says, you won't die. And I think we would rather hear the latter, and we have endorsed that through even in theological circles today. Even several writers that are writing Christian books describe the living dead. And let me give you an excerpt from a book that I read called 23 Minutes in Hell. And this author, Bill Weiss, proclaims, and I quote, I was standing in the middle of a cave. As I looked at the walls, I saw they were covered with thousands of hideous creatures. These creatures were all sizes and shapes, and some of them had four legs and were the size of bears. And then he concluded, they seem to be the living dead. However, then in another part of his book, he said that all was dead and there was no life of any kind. But he just seemed kind of confused on the status of those living dead folks. And so here's a big question for you, Pastor Dan. Are the dead living, or are the living dead yet alive anyway? And can someone die and live at the same time? And can the two coexist together simultaneously? Your answer?
Biblical answer, when you're dead, you're dead until you're resurrected. Either to condemnation
or to Yeshua. And for some strange reason, death really isn't death to a lot of people. It's just the minute you shut your eyes, you're in another location. Now, otherwise, what need is it for death if the minute you shut your eyes, you're alive again? Some 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4, from what I see in the Bible. You know, the living dead, John Ray has it. We have a word for this type of construction, and it's called an oxymoron. Have you ever heard of an oxymoron, Pastor Dan?
Well, of course.
Yeah, and here's a couple examples of senseless ideas. How about hairy baldness or blind sight? How about meat-eating vegetarian? Or, Pastor Dan, have you ever heard of a joyful grump? Well, this is the same type of an idea. A living dead paradigm makes about as much sense as a health food fanatic drinking moonshine and snorting methamphetamines. Call them what they are, they're called false truths. What do you think?
I think so, and let me give a little insight to the people, and this is how I feel about death. When you die, your eyes are shut, however you want to mean that, you will cease to be thinking anything. The next thing you will know, which will maybe seem like the snap of a finger, you will either be looking at Yeshua and the great white throne judgment, or you will be resurrected to a wonderful new born-again body after Yeshua. Either way, you will have no knowledge of whether it was a day or an hour, 100 years, how long that you have been indeed dead. Back to you.
That's right. Death is equitable to all, brother. Adam, who died thousands of years ago, is no more aware that he's dead than the one who died a decade ago. And so we're all on an equal playing field here. You know, when you die, you immediately go into heaven or hell, then that would seem fair to those people who have to spend more thousands of years in hell than someone other. But that's not what the book says, and that's not the teaching of Scripture. Yet we bought into these lies, and then we believe in the living dead, as was illustrated in that passage in 23 Minutes in Hell.
Okay, I'm going to have to break in. We're going to go to break.
It's a teaching in the church of 1 billion who have the doctrine of praying for the dead. Are you aware of that doctrine, brother?
Well, amen. We don't. Once you're dead, you can't pray them into a different place. But, brother, it's break time in less than 30 seconds. Give them your website.
Oh, sure. This is surewordprophecy.org. If you'd like to pursue more of this that we're speaking on, I have a video there that's called Death, Resurrection, and the Living Dead, and I encourage you to watch it.
All right, folks. We'll be back with more with Steve on the Living Dead, I guess, in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And we'll get back to talking about the walking dead, or really this thing that's taken over the country or the world, really, in just a couple of minutes. Because I need to talk to you first a little bit about the Wichita Mission Church. Well, you know, we are in our 19th year of the Wichita Mission Church, but, you know, I got to talk to you about the summer. Summer is just... Man, it's like somebody turned off the water spigot for donations, and it comes out in a drip. yeah, we're still here. We've been able to feed everybody, but bills are doubling and so on and so forth. Just like now, you folks say, well, I'm not concerned with Wichita Mission Church. I just listen to you on radio. Well, I am behind in radio more than a month. You understand, folks? That's because the donations have went way down. And without radio, like I explained to the podcast company, which, by the way, our podcast company did actually donate a whole year to us so we don't have to worry about us and gave us an ongoing price. But these programs are not what you call podcasts in the sense. It's an archive that we put in a podcast site, but they're radio archives. It's live radio. If we had to just go to pre-recorded, let me tell you what, the quality of programs, you wouldn't like our program probably because there would be no energy in our program. We have been on American Voice Radio since 2004. This is a small station, but they deserve their money. And so we need your help to support radio. And of course, we need it for the Wichita Mission Church. Like my wife pointed out earlier today, we're out of King James Version Bibles. She needs money for bills that have doubled. And we always need food and so on and so forth. But radio is critical because that is what supports. This is our fundraising way for the Mission Church. Without radio, I don't even want to talk about what would happen. So pray about supporting radio. And that's something else you need to do too. With if you notice, all the conservative voices are going away from your YouTube and from different places YouTube, from Twitter and from Facebook and so on and so forth. They're being weeded out. Talk radio is not been weeded out. We are here. We've been here for a long time. Support us so that we can stay here. Anyway, and remember, folks, we do minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even want to drive through. At any given time, you could come out, you'd come over to see our mission church, and you could point out the different prostitutes out there on the street. But wasn't that where Yeshua was at? Didn't he go among the poor and the needy and the sinners? Well, that's where we're at. But we do need your help now to keep staying open. Things do get better in another month or so after we pull out of summer, but right now we are having a hard time. We are the last hope for so many, and we're responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime. And if you mail it in the mail, make sure that you write on that donation, radio. Otherwise, it goes into the general fund, and it will be done to whatever is important right at that moment. Anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, or you can give a donation over the phone, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And now we're talking with Steve Henderson of the Sure Word of Prophecy Ministries, talking about some really important things that are going on right now, a real sign of the end. Are you there with me, Steve?
I'm here, brother, and I also want to concur with you and implore your listening audience to support your program. It's one of the few voices out there that's giving the trumpet a certain sound, and I appreciate what you're doing, brother, and keep up the good work. Okay, so on this subject of the dead, resurrection, and the living dead, I believe that if we understand what the prophecies say, and it will give us a clear picture as we insert the various pieces of the prophetic puzzle together. Each piece provides a clear picture of what to expect as the final days arise. And you see many scriptures throughout the Old and New Testament that you can put together that formulate a picture that there are going to be some spirits that are going to be unleashed on this planet. One of them being in Revelation chapter 16. We can start there. Many of us are watching these events shaping up, understand at some point this great deception is coming on a grief-stricken, chaotic, war-torn planet. And in the background lurks these myriads of demons and these spirits awaiting the call of their leader. And at some place in time, they're going to be unleashed or unrestrained to do the final gathering of nations to the last great battle. And let me quote one scripture found in Revelation chapter 16 that verifies this. John the Revelator says in Revelation 16, I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of the Lord God Almighty. And you see here that there are going to be spirits that are going to be going out to the whole world, spirits of devils, and they're working miracles. And there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. In the very beginning, the first lie was on the issue of death. And I truly believe and see in the scriptures where what we're talking about, the pursuit of the communicating with spirits and this type of pursuit with necromancy and mediums and crystal ball readers and psychics and, you know, all of this, they're going to be looking to these blind guides at the end, because they're going to be looking for solutions. And the spirit of devils are going to work miracles to back up what they're saying and to verify that they have some truth and they have a solution for the big problem of survival in the world when all this stuff comes down. And along with the dragon, beast, and false prophet, there is a picture of a whore who in her hand has a cup of abominations that the whole world is sipping from, and the earth becomes drunken by the abominations that they're gulping down out of the whore's cup. And when you see the word abomination, it's used in the most harsh language, Pastor Dan, horrendously disgusting or detestably sickening in God's sight is what it means. And we're warned in the last days that believers will come to the place where, you know, they depart from that faith, giving heed to these seducing spirits, as you were as you let out the program. And they're going to have an overwhelming influence to convince those who are deceived by convincing evidences and miracles. In fact, Yeshua said, if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. But I think that one of the things that we need to be on guard about is these spiritual insurgences of working miracles and the supernatural and the paranormal. And all these things that people are pursuing are, they're pursuing the wrong thing, and they're going to be entrapped and ensnared in this at the end when they begin to see these seducing spirits go out to the earth to gather the whole world. And it didn't say part of the world. All the world gathers up against the Lord God Almighty at the end in that great battle of Armageddon. And as the judgments of Jehovah fall on the world, the prophecy tells us that there are going to be four specific sins that are identified. Even when the judgments are coming on the earth in the trumpet judgments, it says that they neither repented of their murders nor of their sorceries or their fornication or their theft. So the bottom line is the prevailing attitude on the earth, there are going to be a lot of people going around murdering people, and they're going to be raping and thieving for people, and they're going to be doing sorceries, whatever that may be. Now, the word for sorcery there in the Greek is pharmakia, which actually we get the word pharmacy from, but it's an influence that I believe when you put the rest of the scriptures together is going to deal with the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And so in this whore's hand is this cup of abominations, and we have identified some of the abominable practices that were going on in Israel at the time where they were pursuing mediums and necromancers, those people who were communicating with the dead and all of these things. So I think at the end it says that two things will come to this woman in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. This is out of 47 of Isaiah, for the multitude of her sorceries and a great abundance of these enchantments. So there are little clues all over Scripture that there's going to be this overwhelming surge of pursuit of the supernatural, and that there's going to be much verification to deceive the whole world by these sorceries and by these. I truly believe, and we're being set up, that there are going to be people coming back from the dead who are going to be giving us messages about how to solve our problems. And I'm totally convinced of it, and if we had enough time, I would give you all the scriptures to back that up. But what I'd like to do from here is provide just a small little synopsis of what happens to you when you die according to the scripture. I know we don't have much time, and I could go on and on about the the pieces to put together about how it really shows you that this is what Satan's going to use at the end, is a supernatural to convince everyone, and we're set up for it. In every facet of our society, we are set up for this type of thing, and many are already convinced, and it's just going to take a little tribulation and chaos and panic for the rest of the world to buy into the solution of the beast. And these spirits of demons are going to go out through the beast and false prophet the dragon to gather the whole world together. Your comment?
Okay, wait. Yeah, my comment is that I know that you want to get in, you want to talk about the state of the dead. That's great. I want you to, though, hear me, brother. I would like for just the thing that you were very well talking about, that you could prove these things. I want you to work that into a program. Let me know when you're ready. We'll do it. Back to you.
Sure. Well, we can start out with the verses that I was telling you about as far as the astrologers at the beginning of the show. It's found in Isaiah 47 and verse 10, and it talks about this woman, this Lady of Kingdoms, and I believe there is an exact verbatim statement in this passage as there is in the book of Revelation chapter 18. And it says that you've said in your heart, I am, and there's no one else beside me. Because of this evil that shall come upon you, you will not know where it rises, and mischief shall fall upon you, and you will not be able to put it off, and desolation will come upon you suddenly where you shall not know. And so then it says this. Now here's a clue that brings in the supernatural. And it says this, stand now with your enchantments, this time, and by the Hebrew word there for enchantments is shivar, and this is used in the warning of Yahweh when he warned Israel about avoiding certain abominations, and he mentions specific abominations, one being a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, a wizard, or a necromancer. And this Hebrew word shivar says, stand now with these enchantments, and see what they're going to be able to do for you. For all do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord will drive you out from before you. And with a multitude of your sorceries, it mentions sorceries here. The Hebrew word there is keshef, sorcery or witchcraft. And we understand that in witchcraft, in fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, you're going to find a story of King Saul. And this word sorcery is the same word that's used there relating around witchcraft, where Saul sought the witch of Endor, and he was trying to hear from the Lord. He didn't hear anything, so he consulted with a witch. And so the witch wound up helping out Saul by bringing something up out of the ground. And what happened was, she saw someone come up with a robe wrapped around the robe, and King Saul thought it was Samuel. It says perceived it was Samuel, and we all know what the story entails. We know that Yahweh had forbid the communicating with these type of individuals, yet Saul did this, and because he. He went against the will of Yahweh. He wound up eventually taking his own life with his own sword. Yet what I find interesting there is even the evil spirit that was brought up, which he perceived as Samuel. See, a witch has no power over a godly prophet or the spirit of a godly prophet. And it was coming up from the ground. It wasn't coming out of heaven. So we know what that was all about. Some like to think that was the actual spirit of Samuel, but it wasn't. It was an imposter. It was a demonic spirit. And so when the witch conveyed to Saul what this was about, he perceived that it was Daniel, and we all know the end of the story there. But the same word, witchcraft or sorcery, is in there. So it's talking in this particular context that stand now with your enchantments and with the multitude of your sorceries, and let the astrologers and the stargazers, and which are the astrologers and stargazers are another Hebrew word. I think 16 times it was interpreted seer, prophet one time, stargazer and the monthly per investigator stand up and save you from all these things that will come upon you. So in this particular passage, it mentions specific things that are taking place that's going to bring desolation to this Lady of Kingdoms, which is found over there in the same verbatim language is found over there in Revelation chapter 18 in identifying this whore. And involved is abominations, which identify as sorceries, witchcraft, and they're called whoredoms. In Nahum, chapter 3 and verse 4, it gives you a little indicator of the whoredoms of a well-favored harlot. And it says, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft that sells nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Here is another picture. If you read all of Nahum, which we, you know, of course, we time does not allow us to do that. If you look at that, those passages, there are passages all over that talk about the pursuit of witchcraft and whoredoms of abominations. And this particular passage is harlotry. And we all recognize that the God of Heaven forbid the pursuit of these things, and he a couple times he called them harlots for pursuing other gods and these type of avenues of the supernatural. And so we find in that also that in the, Revelation, I think it's 18, I'm trying to do all this stuff off the top of my head here now, that there's a call, there's an angel that comes out of heaven with the earth and light with his glory, saying, come out of my heart, out of her, my people, that she be not a partaker of her plagues and of her sins. And it mentions something to the effect that, golly, I should, I'm trying to recall this now, but it talks about whoredom and harlotry and spiritual wickedness.
You're talking about Revelation 18. It's in Revelation.
Yeah, around verse 3 and 4. Do you have that on you?
Yeah, I can get it in about 30 seconds. I got a Bible here. Give me a, go ahead and talk.
I can't read. For some reason, I'm having a hard time recalling exactly what it says. A receiver of plagues and partaker of her sins, come out of my people. It's in that context in Revelation 18. But if an angel comes down with the earth enlightened with her glory. It talks about sorceries, if I remember correctly. Do you have that?
Yeah, it does. In about a second, I will. Okay, there's 18. Let's see. Okay. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen. Has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drank the wine of the fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the rich are waxed. But it goes on, and let's see.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to recall there. It talks about fornicating with foul spirits, okay? And these foul spirits that we find throughout the Scripture had something to do with communicating with dead folks and witchcraft and this type of thing, these type of things that are forbidden, which the whole world seems to be absolutely incredibly attached and fascinated with as we speak, and it's getting larger as we continue. And then we find the passages of found even in the New Testament where Paul said that one day evil messengers are going to pose as messengers of light and impart direct visitations and communications from heaven as what to do when this troublous rock we falls on begins to fall apart. In the final days, we're warned how the author evil will be operating through the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. And the devil has always used the deception of beginning to or allowing people to believe that the minute you die, you really don't die, you just transition into another location. That death really isn't death, that the soul never dies, but I will tell you that you'll find that nowhere in Scripture. Immortality only comes through the Messiah, Yeshua, and that immortality is imparted when they're raised from the grave and given that particular immortality at a certain time at the last trump. is when the mortal will be given immortality and the corruptible will be given incorruption. So we know that until then, they are laying in their graves waiting for one of two resurrections. Jesus said it this way. He said, marvel not at this, the hour is coming, which all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So we find that they're laying in their graves, and we can do a study on the state of death at some point. But what need would there be for a resurrection? And death, if death is just a transition location and just a blink of the eye, you're in heaven or hell, what need would there be for not only death, which the Bible says very clearly, the wages of sin is death. And not only that, but we have to also receive a judgment by the Almighty. It's appointed once a time to die, but after this, the judgment. So how in the world can we receive immediate immortality and be able to be floating around and communicating with other people? And if you believe in this state of the dead where you're actually alive and you look down on your loved ones, and there are a lot of stories where people are receiving visitations from their deceased loved ones. And man, if that is not some convincing evidence, I don't know what is. But this is going to get more and more ramped up as we see this time approach, brother. What do you think?
Okay. I absolutely know people that believe that. Like one person I know, well, it's a sister that I don't even have contact with, hardly. She believes that her grandmother is a overseeing spirit, an angel, so to speak, guardian angel, to watch after, and she's a Bible-believing Christian, so to speak. She believes in Christianity. But let me say this real quickly. If you die, and when you die, you immediately go to the place that they're talking about, hell, or you immediately go to heaven, then where's the judgment? You would already be judged, because we have a Father that tells us that he's going to give us a judgment. He's going to give us a reckoning. But if you die and you immediately go to hell, then what about the scriptures that says that you're going to get judgment? Well, that's without judgment. You know what I'm saying, Steve? Back
yes.
to you. We got
no,
about
no,
3 minutes.
No earthly judge will ever throw somebody in the death chamber without giving them a trial and pronouncing the sentence on him. And evidently, we are waiting for one or two resurrections. Daniel chapter 12 says that we're sleeping in the dust of the earth. When God told Adam in the first place, he said, now that you have sinned, you are going to return to the dust of the ground that you came out of. And he didn't say you're going to return to me. He said you're going to return to the dust of the ground. And throughout the scriptures, you find scriptures like you take away their breath, they die, and they return to dust. The dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit or breath will return to God who gave it. You know, these scriptures point to a time where it says in Psalm 115, verse 17, the dead do not praise the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Well, what does that mean? It simply means that the dead aren't going up, but they're going down and they're quiet. And they're surely not in hell. They're not screeching and yelling and screaming, but they're quiet. And his spirit departs. He returns to this earth. And in that very day, his thoughts perish. Their love, their hatred, their envy are now perished. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going, the wise man says. And so there are multitudes of scriptures, including this one, behold, all souls are mine, and the soul who sins will die. And I think that we need to define death, brother. Death is a cessation of life. There's nothing left there. The dead don't know anything, according to Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6. It says they don't have a clue that they're even dead. They don't know you. They don't know that they're dead. But one day they wake up, and the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead rise up first. And, you know, if they already receive their reward, why is there a resurrection in the first place? I don't understand that. But, brother, you don't have a body, but now they're going down to get the body. That just doesn't make a whole bunch of sense to me, especially when Paul says that immortality comes at the last trumpet.
Okay, we are at the end of the program, but let me say that. That was the thing that I always said, well, okay, so let's get this straight. You die, you go to heaven, but then when Yeshua returns, you got to run, you got to go back down to the grave so you can unite with your body and then come back up. that doesn't make sense. Anyway, tell us where your website's at, and we're going to have to say goodbye.
Sure. It's truewordprophecy.org, and I really believe that this video that I put together, Death, Resurrection, and Living Devil, explain this in its fullest light. On the backside is, I'm working on one now called The Second Death, and I think it'd be a good one, too. So, brother, I appreciate your opportunity to talk with you, and may the Lord bless you significantly in your ministry.
Amen. Got to go. Goodbye and
Shalom. Take care.
Folks, please remember to support radio and the Wichita Mission Church. If you mail a check for radio, mark on it radio. You send us a donation. I pray that you might even do so tonight. But we must remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for repentant sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.